Hello and welcome to episode 141 of Speak Beastie for December 26th, 2021. I'm Amy.
I'm Anne.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, guess what? It's my birthday!
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Okay. I'm old.
We have to sing.
You don't have to. It's fine.
We have really to. Don't. It's your birthday. Oh, yeah, wait. Are we going to get, like, fined if we use the happy birthday song?
No, actually. This is now that we're starting our copyright podcast, Copy Beastie. Warner Brothers actually just lost the copyright battle over Happy Birthday to You. That was in 2017 or 2018, I think. So they have to pay back everybody they sued over the last century.
That's a lot of money.
Yup.
Gee, hope this movie brings in some for them.
Well, yeah, the song is in public domain in the United States and the European Union. Other places, who knows?
Happy birthday to you.
To you.
Happy birthday,
happy birthday to you.
The lag is really bad.
Happy birthday, dear Anne.
Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, y'all. Yay. So nice.
We got you a trailer.
I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you know who else got me a gift? Our beautiful Patreon supporter for this week, Robert. Thank you Amazing. For the gift of your support and continuing to support us even though we're ridiculous human beings.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Well, speaking of gifts and a trailer, let's go on into the Felix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind the scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wiggs Knees and How.
We have one major piece of news, and that's that there was a trailer.
Yeah, don't know if you heard, but
yeah,
you know.
I don't know if you heard the entire internet exploding yesterday.
So, if you missed it, we released a bonus episode where the three of us and Marjolaine broke down the trailer shot by shot. So now that we've done that, we're just gonna be breaking it down more until April.
Yeah.
I mean, if y'all remember, we did the, you know, the Crimes of Grindelwald 10 minutes at a time. We did the first movie 10 minutes at a time. Get ready for like a second at a time breakdown of this trailer. We have a lot of time until April.
Let's just discuss every still.
Yep.
Thank God it's not, you know, a year from now.
Oh my God. Yeah. Can you imagine if we were trying to keep ourselves entertained until July?
Yeah. And before the trailer, there was like a teaser trailer for the trailer that actually had different clips. We covered this in our bonus episode, so if you haven't listened to the bonus episode, you should do that.
Yes.
I don't know why you haven't done it.
And apologies, because some of the things we said in the bonus episode, we got a little bit wrong, and we were like, gee, I wonder if, like, you know, if we were looking at a really clear copy of this and not just a recorded screen. Maybe we could tell what things said. And sure enough, you could definitely tell what things said in the trailer.
And sure
you
enough.
You rewatch it and it's just, you're like, there's that. That's that. Okay.
There was the Brooklyn
Bridge.
There's
where we went wrong.
The Brooklyn Bridge one, that's our bad.
Yeah.
Well, the Manhattan Bridge, but you know.
The Manhattan Bridge, sorry.
Same thing.
That bridge in New York.
I love how Lizzie was like, oh, you live in New York and you didn't know that was the Manhattan Bridge. I'm like, Lizzie, that would be as if, like, I pointed to some random bridge in Buffalo, New York, and was like, you from Long Island or the city, like, you should know what this is.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I didn't think you lived in that part of New York.
Bridges. Anyway, so there was that. And after that, another cast member has been added to IMDb. Maria Fernanda Candido has been cast as Vicentia Santos. Vicentia Santos seems right. And so she's going to be the Brazilian candidate for the head of the International Confederation of Wizards, which is another thing we realized after our trailer breakdown is that the, like, red banners and yellow banners and, like, that whole thing is an election for the head of the International Confederation of Wizards.
Like, where did that information... Is that something that is actually revealed in the trailer that I just completely missed? Or is that something that was released elsewhere?
Yeah, so it's the writing on the banners that we can't read. One, because it was blurry. Okay. And two, because it was different languages.
Got it.
People who were able to translate those languages...
Yeah.
Like, I know Marjo told us this info, and then I saw Igor also commented what was on the banners. So, yes.
So, she is the woman on the yellow banners. We did talk a little bit about, like, there's a woman on that banner. The red banners have a Mr. Lou on them, but we don't know who is playing Mr. Lou. Presumably someone is.
Yeah. And fun fact that, like, I didn't realize until Helene sent us this article from the Lexicon about the Supreme Mugwump, who is the head of the International Confederation of Wizards. That's the title.
It's a great band name.
Yeah. So Dumbledore held the position, which I totally forgot about.
Oh, yeah, yes. He did.
And I was trying to figure out the timing, and the best I could find was it was sometime during his tenure as a teacher at Hogwarts. So I wonder, does he end up being the Supreme Mugwump instead of all of these candidates? Or is that later? Like, I don't know.
I feel like it's later, but they can mess with things. Whatever.
I mean, they've already proven that time is meaningless. So they can do whatever they want.
And this information about this election is interesting, too, because in episode 140, which I feel like really got the shaft because of the bonus episode the day after. But if you go back and listen to episode 140, we talk about how the actor who is playing the Supreme Mugwump, the head of the International Confederation of Wizards, he said something alluding to having a scene with both Grindelwald and Dumbledore. So that's interesting, too, kind of knowing that this is the election as well.
Yeah.
I like this sort of, you know, getting back into a political angle that is not just like, and the government is there. Like, there's stuff going on with the government. And Grindelwald's going to use that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really interested that we're finally seeing some kind of election or something. It's actually, Chris and I were talking with us the other day. He was like, do wizards have elections? How do they pick the minister for magic?
Right.
So this will be really interesting to see how all this pans out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so much to talk about. And just like we finally have news, we also finally have Owlpost.
Yay!
Yay!
The fandom is a buzzin', people. So this nice piece of Owlpost actually ties in really nicely with our discussion in episode 139, This is Dragon Country, where we learned a little bit more about the country of Bhutan. And it comes from Albert, who sent this to our Patreon.
I'm sorry, I'll just say real quick that the message itself was very long and very beautiful, so this is a truncated version of the message. Yes.
Albert is a wonderful human being, just saying.
Yes.
I always feel so happy after I read his messages. All right, so Albert says, beyond the capacity to encapsulate just how much joy and gratitude that stellar trailer has generated, off to the wider wizarding world we go. Wish I could have joined the Skype, but I was fast asleep while Speak Beastie headquarters was popping off. I'll make sure not to miss the next one. So for anyone who doesn't know, we held a Skype call with our Patreon supporters when the trailer dropped, so hopefully there will be a next one. We plan on having a next one. Mm-hmm. So Albert says, meanwhile, I'm diving headlong into research from what we saw starting here, and he links us to a website called kingdomofbhutan.com. He says, I am so fascinated by this country. There's something truly magical about it. Very reclusive, secretive, you might say, fitting for a film with secrets in the title. The Consulate of Bhutan in Australia does not currently issue visas. Applicants wishing to visit Bhutan must organize through a travel company.
Huh.
So that's interesting. I'm certain this inspired the writers. I hope being featured in the film doesn't draw unwanted attention to the country, though. We can love, hype about, and study the place from afar, I suppose. Will we meet the Bhutanese dragon from its flag, perhaps? Perhaps. I would like that.
Perhaps.
That would be cool.
Sending good energy from the Wizarding World podcast. Be well, my friends. Picket sounds of celebration. Happy holidays and positive New Year's Eve vibes for the whole Speak Beastie crew. Albert.
Thanks, Albert. This is so good.
Bhutan is really fascinating.
Yeah, I'm just going to be clicking through this website. Right? Festivals of Bhutan.
Is that like the official tourism website?
It looks like it.
Oh, it's pretty.
Yeah.
Travel arrangements. Let's see here. How do I get there? You can't get in. You're poor.
National holidays. What are their holidays? In the year of the male water tiger, 2022.
Whoa. Didn't we... There was a still in the trailer with those flags that were hanging from the building. Mm-hmm. Were they?
Oh, yeah, the prayer
green,
flags.
Green, orange, and yellow?
No.
No, those were the banners that were with the fire in the wall with the fireworks.
They were red.
Yeah.
And yellow.
Oh, and yeah, then, it was red.
I think it was, there was a third one in the middle that I think was just black.
Oh, yeah, it was yellow, red, and green.
Oh,
but
it was green.
Actually, guys.
Yeah.
On this website, on the first homepage, we see like the flag of Bhutan and some stuff. On the flag, there's yellow, orange, and green right in a row in the same order that we see yellow, orangish, red, and green hanging on that building.
Oh, interesting.
Well, maybe. Maybe so. It's supposed to be the flag. Or it's representing the candidates.
Maybe.
Or both.
But yes, we'll have to do more digging into Bhutan. And...
Yes, we'll definitely have to do a Bhutan episode.
We did. Episode 139.
Well, yeah. Well, oh, yeah. That was like our overview, but we'll have to like... Yeah.
A deeper
dig more into it, because there it seems like there's a lot going on.
We talked so much about Brazil.
I know.
Yeah, we need to have an equally embarrassing amount of time dedicated to Bhutan.
But it does make me feel better that this candidate
is from Brazil.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think when like all the Brazil stuff started, they were intending on going to Brazil, and then maybe when Steve Kloves came in and rewrote stuff. He was like, we really don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to this cool seeker country. Because then we can do whatever we want. Nobody knows if it's true.
Because they have a dragon flag, so why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, you can't just go to Wales, which also has a dragon on the flag.
No.
So boring. Shall we go on to our main discussion?
Yes.
Let's
go on to our main discussion, which is about my husband, Aberforth. If you listen to the bonus episode, you'd know how uncomfortable I am with my deep thirst for Aberforth, but that does not stop it from existing.
My favorite moment from watching that trailer together was that moment where we just all went, oh, when Aberforth came on. And then just the uncomfortable silence that followed of us all realizing, oh, no.
listen.
I think I said this before, but like, so first in the touring production of Newsies, the dude who played Pulitzer was super hot. He was Beast in a production of Beauty and the Beast, and like he's and like if you've seen the original movie Newsies,
yeah,
he's not hot.
No.
And then to have a hot Pulitzer is deeply uncomfortable. And then now Albus Dumbledore is hot because he's Jude Law. And now Aberforth is hot.
I think you like mustaches, Anne.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm just... Oh, no, I have a thing for older men with mustaches.
And Anne is just having a crisis right now on the show.
BRB, I'm just going to crawl under my desk and have a meltdown for a minute. But like,
can't relate.
If we end up having, there's a flashback where like Percival is Jonathan Rhys Meyers and Kendra is Eva Green and Ariana is like Dove Cameron, I'm done. Ooh. I'm done.
They're like the Kardashians of the Wizarding World. They're all really attractive. What is this?
So, what do we know about Richard Coyle? He is an English actor. He was born February 6, 1974, so he is 47 years old. And Jude Law, actually, is almost, his birthday is December 29th, 1972, so soon to be 49. So the age difference between the two of them is about right for Albus and Aberforth, which is pretty cool. Okay. Oh, also, as of when this episode drops, just side note, Alison Sudol's birthday have been 3 days before, and Jude Law's is 3 days after, so happy Whoa. Birthday to them, too.
Oh, man, now we have to sing happy birthday again.
We really don't. It's fine. So Richard Coyle had his big break in the TV show Coupling as Jeff Murdoch from 2000 to 2003. He was also in The Libertine, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, Going Postal, Covert Affairs, and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. He's also narrated At the Mountains of Madness and Shadow Over Innsmouth by H.P. Lovecraft.
Ooh.
Well.
I bet he has a good narrating voice.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. It was kind of like his voice that got us. At least I know it got Marjo, so.
I don't know. I like his forearms.
I don't remember. I remember he had a mustache.
Yes.
He looked like a man.
He did. Surely did.
Oh, all right. Boy.
What do we know about Aberforth Dumbledore up to the action of Secrets of Dumbledore?
Yes.
So his name meeting, I broke down to pull in an Oreo here. Aberforth is a Welsh name meaning from the River Forth. The first part, Aber, is Breton by way of Proto-Brythonic and Proto-Celtic languages, ad meaning at or towards, and baros meaning bearer or flow, according to Wiktionary. So that means like the mouth of a river. And then Forth is a specific river in Scotland.
Oh. Did we think about like wings from the water in terms of Aberforth, since his name seems to mean a body of water?
I don't think we have. We did talk about the wings from the water with the phoenix.
Yeah.
The water phoenix at the end of the trailer, but I don't think we... It does say, though, that the phoenix will go to any Dumbledore, so maybe Aberforth has a water phoenix and he's the wings from the water.
That would be cool if Aberforth had a phoenix this entire time.
He's like, oh, yeah, Bert, no, he's just my buddy.
Banished. Despair of the daughter, return great avenger. I always have to re-look up this prophecy.
I mean, think about it, though. That really makes sense, right? Because Aberforth, all this time, he's probably been wanting to avenge Ariana. So
yeah.
Return yeah. great avenger with wings from the water. He's a Dumbledore, so therefore phoenixes. His name basically means water.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I don't think, I think that might be the first, if that turns out to be right, I'm going to be actually delighted.
Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. I don't know why I couldn't get that phrase out. That just sounded like I was drunk. I'm not, I swear.
$5 mark.
Drinking my hot cocoa. I'm drunk on too much information. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Like, you've been so hungry for information that you've gotten it all at once, and then we're just glutted with it.
Too much of a good thing, you know?
Yep. And of course, Dumbledore means bumblebee, so he is a bumblebee from the river.
Again, nice. Wings.
I love that.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Bumblebees, wings.
So according to both the HP Wiki and the Harry Potter lexicon, he was born in 1883 or 1884. Presuming the action of Secrets of Dumbledore is in the early 30s, this would have him in his mid to late 40s. So exactly spot on for the actor, mm-hmm. which is really nice.
It's nice we're kind of catching up to the actors' ages.
Yeah.
Because they were all too old before.
Well, yeah, like, the so Alison
Which doesn't
Sudol,
make a huge difference, but...
It's just funny to me, because Alison Sudol, is, like, Queenie's supposed to be, like 23, 24?
Yeah, in, like, the first movie.
Yeah, she's literally 3 days older than me, so she's gonna be 37 soon. What?
Yeah.
And,
I mean, Newt's supposed to be...
He's, like, in his almost 30, right? Or, like, early 30s?
In the first movie, I think he's supposed to be late 20s.
Oh, okay.
And same with Tina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Catherine Waterston's almost 40, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
Luckily, they all age well.
Yeah. Age crazy.
So Aberforth is 3 years younger than Albus. And he moved from Mold on the Wold to Godric's Hollow in 1891-ish, following... Percival's shenanigans mm-hmm. with the Muggle boys that attacked Ariana. So at that time he would
That's
have been 7 or 8
years
old.
It.
You know, shenanigans seems a little dismissive, but I don't feel like getting into it again.
Yeah, yeah.
He was Hogwarts educated from 1895 to 1902. According to The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, he preferred dueling to talking things out.
I just noted that this is, like, totally younger sibling vibes, you know? Because, like, me and my sister, I was just wanting to fight and get it over with. And she just wanted to, like, make snarky comments and, like, say mean things. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, tracks. Rita also described him as always being in Albus's shadow. And Aberforth himself said that he would take care of Ariana when he was at home from Hogwarts, that if their mother couldn't get her to eat, then he usually could, and he could calm her down when she was in one of her rages. He also raised goats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I just pulled what we know about that situation, which is he supposedly developed a spell to keep goats' horns curly and clean, and was arrested because it was inappropriate.
Yeah, I was reading this, and apparently this was an answer that was given to an 8-year-old. Yeah. And there was a heavy wink-wink component to the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But then we also have this quote from Dumbledore. He says, "My own brother, Aberforth, was prosecuted for practicing inappropriate charms on a goat. It was all over the papers, but did Aberforth hide? No, he did not. He held his head high and went about his business as usual. Of course, I'm not entirely sure he can read, so that may not have been bravery."
So mean.
So, you know, it goes back to what I was saying about the older sibling just saying really horrible, mean things, and the younger sibling being like, you know what, let's just fist fight.
Let's go!
Yeah. I mean, Aberforth punched him, so
it's true.
We know that.
Kendra died in 1899, so at that time Aberforth would have been about 15 to 16 years old. He wanted to leave Hogwarts to care for Ariana, but Albus wanted him to finish his education, even if the man Albus himself had to abandon his own grand plans to care for her. Of course, that is the summer as well that Grindelwald showed up. And he and Albus started making these grand plans to subjugate Muggles. And Aberforth thought the plan was dumb, which it is, and pointed out to Albus that he had not been taking care of Ariana, and he couldn't be a grand hero of the Wizarding World if he had to take care of his sister and worry about her. And at some point, Grindelwald got fed up with Aberforth and used the Cruciatus curse on him.
Which I completely forgot that was the thing. The Cruciatus curse.
Yeah, same. Like, you know that it's a duel, but you forget what the, like, at least I forgot, too, what the inciting incident was. And that's intense. So, once that happened, Albus jumped in to defend his brother. Ariana tried to help, too, but a stray curse hit her and killed her. Aberforth blamed Albus for her death and assaulted him at her funeral and broke his nose.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's already reason enough, I feel like, for Aberforth to kind of, like, blame Albus for Ariana's mm-hmm. death. But then, like, you also think about, like, hey, dude, like, this guy that you had this crush on and kept bringing around to our house used an unforgivable spell on his younger brother. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were all just teenagers.
Yeah, that's something I always forget about in these books, that everyone is so young.
So messed up.
Aberforth was 15 when this happened. 15? What were you Jesus. Doing at 15?
I was just, like, chilling, reading my books.
Yeah, right? But, like, what kind of a reaction is that, too? Like, to, like, this 15-year-old is, like, yelling at his older brother for not being responsible. And as the friend, you're just going to come in and decide, oh, yeah, I'm going to torture this kid? Why? Well, we know why. Grindelwald yeah, is, like,
we
nuts,
know exactly why.
Yeah. But...
Yeah. Just,
what?
That's one of those situations where you just sit there and drink your lemonade.
Yep.
Be like, Mom, come pick me up.
Oh.
He graduated Hogwarts in 1902. Some point, he started working at the Hogshead in Hogsmeade. We don't know if, like, he founded the bar or if he just took it over from someone. His Patronus is a goat. And the weird goat stuff that Amy referred to earlier is in 1982. So we luckily do not have to worry about finding out exactly what the inappropriate terms actually were in these movies, which is good because it would be something weird and edgy, and I can't deal with that with my husband.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next question. What do we learn from the trailer? We do learn that by the time of the action of the movie, again, we're presuming the early 30s, but we don't know for sure, he's already working as a barman at the Hogshead. He and Albus are in contact, or at least Albus comes to the Hogshead at times.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have a pretty strained relationship, just from the sheer amount of line facing that Aberforth does whenever Albus is around. Oh, that's my brother. I'll just say the world again. Albus seems to be using the Hogshead as a place to meet up with Newt and Theseus.
Yes.
And it's hard to say how much or how little Aberforth is involved with the conversation. He's being pretty snarky about the whole thing, but it's not like he wouldn't know about the Grindelwald situation because it's everywhere. And we're ignoring Albus's mean comment that Aberforth is illiterate because it's mean and also wrong because he knows how to read.
Yeah, we only see him in the trailer at the Hogshead, so it is like, it doesn't seem like he's gonna be in it much more. He's just there to snark at Albus, apparently.
That's fine.
That's what they would have us believe.
I feel like it makes sense to bring him into this and have him involved, mm-hmm. because he already has been involved in the whole Grindelwald situation since nearly the beginning.
Sure. You know?
He was there for that whole summer. He saw what they were planning. He knows what Grindelwald's about. And he has this score to settle with him about Ariana and his family.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense, especially because this is called The Secrets of Dumbledore, and we don't mm-hmm. know which Dumbledore necessarily. Yeah. So the more Dumbledores we introduce, the more potential secrets we have to mine, to kind of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if Albus would be trying to keep it kind of secret from Aberforth that they're going after Grindelwald, because he doesn't want Aberforth to get involved.
Oh, might be.
Because he doesn't want the told you so.
Or he's just trying to protect him.
Yeah.
And then you have that, like, I'm trying to protect you, well, this isn't protecting me. Urgh.
Yeah.
That whole situation. Yeah, I don't know. It's very hard to say, you know,
I could
where
see
exactly
that.
Their relationship is sitting right now.
Yeah, because from what I was reading, it seems that Aberforth has a lot of resentment and anger towards Albus, and Albus just kind of takes it because he feels like he deserves it.
Yeah.
So that would make sense for the kind of dynamic that they have, that Albus is doing his best to protect his brother when he couldn't protect his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And Aberforth is like, dude.
And it's that, like, okay, you know, they spend most of their lives living near each other, you know, at the Hog's Head and at Hogwarts. It's like, if you really, if they had no relationship at all, it'd be like, well, then why are you so, do you really like working at the Hog's Head that much?
There are other bars, bro.
Like, I don't know.
What role do we think Aberforth might play in the movie? Based on the 0.02 seconds of footage that we get, it is not unreasonable to think that Albus is using the Hog's Head as a sort of HQ away from Hogwarts to work on things he doesn't necessarily feel comfortable doing at Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. And something that I was thinking of while I was typing this was, there's that tunnel from the Hog's Head to Hogwarts, and will that come into play at any point? Is that how they get Jacob into Hogwarts without necessarily activating the muggle repelling charms?
Maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, like, we know that Newt and Jacob are in Hogsmeade at this point. We have the shot of them walking there.
It seems like that's where they go first.
Would make sense.
It kind of seems to me like the two Aberforth things we see in the trailer, which are them going and being like, we're here to see, you know, Albus Dumbledore and Aberforth. It's like, that's my brother. And then we see Aberforth later with Dumbledore. It seems like those are two separate scenes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The second one feeling like that's just going to be an Albus and Aberforth scene.
Yeah.
So it feels like that first one is, this is how we are getting into Hogwarts. We are. Although then, like, they're walking through Hogwarts without Albus. I guess that means that they would, maybe they go to the Hog's Head and Aberforth lets them through the tunnel.
Maybe.
But then, doesn't the tunnel lead into the Room of Requirement?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Because then when we see the Room of Requirement again, why would Jacob be like, what is this place? Because, like, you've already seen it at that point.
Well, not necessarily, because we know that the tunnel into the Room of Requirement led into, at least it was in Deathly Hallows, it led into the room as, like, as the dormitory for Dumbledore's army. So could potentially let out into a different version of the Room of Requirement. They head out into Hogwarts to meet up with Lolly and Bunty and whoever else. And then they go back to that room, and it's now the prayer wheel room or something.
According to Deathly Hallows, I don't remember, like, who says this, but the secret passage was not created until
that year. Okay.
The room created it.
Just kidding.
Because they required it.
All of this is dumb. Never mind. Thank you, Shannon.
I mean, unless it's possible that a secret passage existed before.
Right.
Or, I mean, there are other secret passages in Hogsmeade.
That's true. Maybe they sneak in through the candy shop.
Maybe they go to Hogshead just to go to Hogshead and then go through another secret passage.
Maybe they want to get roared at by the actual Hogshead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely feels like for some reason they're going to the Hogshead first. And then
And then I'm thinking about it. It almost seems like Albus told them to meet him there, because they go in and they say, we're looking for Albus Dumbledore. And it's not like they would just go into every building in Hogsmeade and say, hey, we're looking for Albus Dumbledore.
Be like, you know the building where he probably is. It's that big castle over there.
Yeah. Yeah, it had to have been a prearranged meeting place, because otherwise, why wouldn't they have just gone to Hogwarts?
Right.
Yeah. It's a very confusing sequence of events that I'm sure will make sense, maybe.
Yes, hopefully all will be revealed in the
movie.
Well,
and obviously when we see the whole Hogshead and Hogsmeade shots, Eulalie's not there.
Right.
Right.
And Bunty's not there. She's not in the Hogwarts scenes until the Room of Requirement. And Yusuf is part of the team, but he's only with them on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what order these things happen in, basically.
Well, you know, when I was looking at the YouTube page yesterday, when I was forcing my husband to watch the trailer, it did say trailer one. So
yeah,
maybe we get a second one that very clearly lays out the sequence of events.
Oh, I hope we get another before April.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get another one.
They usually put out a second one and, like, only a couple things are different. Mm-hmm. But just those couple things with, like, give us a little more.
Yeah. You usually have, I mean, this isn't really a teaser like we talked about, but mm-hmm. you usually have, you know, some sort of teaser trailer, the first trailer, and then you have one or two more trailers that give a little bit more information. You know, like, maybe we have another trailer that does reveal Tina and, like, what she's doing. You know, like, with Crimes of Grindelwald, it was, like, the last trailer had Nagini.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'd be like, whoa, what?
She's a lady?
Tina is Nagini. Hold on.
From your lips to God's ears, I swear.
Totally explains everything. Not.
We got one more little note.
We sure do have one more bullet point. I lost my place. Okay. In the Harry Potter books also shows that Aberforth potentially passes information from Hogsmeade to Albus at Hogwarts. In one of the Tom Riddle flashbacks, Albus mentions that some of Tom's cronies are waiting for him at the Hogshead. Tom says that Albus is omniscient, and Albus replies that he's, quote, just friendly with the local barman. So he might also be acting in that capacity. For instance, saying, you know, those Scamander boys are sniffing around asking for you, Al.
I like both the idea that Aberforth is, like, you know, willfully helping Albus sometimes. But I also like the idea that people just show up and are like, hey, can you tell Albus I'm here? And he's like, that's not my job.
I literally am pouring a drink right now.
Do you want a drink? That's my job. They're like, well, I guess I'll have a drink. And one for Albus when he gets here.
Is it well known that Aberforth works at the Hogshead and that he and Dumbledore, he and Albus are brothers? Because I know, obviously, Harry didn't know that, but Harry also doesn't know a lot of things.
And Harry's a child. Yeah, I don't know if, like, adults all know this.
I feel like if you're an adult, you would. Like, if you live in Hogsmeade or, like, around the area, you'd be like,
But maybe people who don't live in the area and know about Albus Dumbledore don't necessarily know that his brother, you know, works nearby.
That's true.
Because Albus is kind of a celebrity and Aberforth is not.
Aberforth is just the hot barman at the Hogshead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who knew?
So that's our main discussion on my husband, Aberforth. And for those of you who remember previous episodes, yes, I am now divorced from Theseus. And I am married to Aberforth. So.
But which Avenger is Aberforth?
Who's the crankiest one? Like Hulk, maybe?
Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be...
I'm like, Bucky Barnes is probably the crankiest one.
Yeah, but that's not...
But that's not the vibe.
No, that's not the vibe.
No. Although, punching things?
Doctor Strange is also cranky, but that's Albus. That's like, that's not Aberforth.
Yeah, for sure. Now that we have that established.
Yeah.
Now that's settled.
It's important.
All right, let's move into our new case. So, for this episode's new case, we are going to look at the Snallygaster.
Ooh.
So, I picked this one because I think this is the beast that we see at the 2:08 mark in the trailer. It's kind of like this weird, like, pterodactyl-looking thing that's, like, flying over the mountains. So, in the Fantastic Beasts textbook, it is described as part bird, part reptile, with serrated steel teeth and a bulletproof hide. It's a distant relation of the Achemy and has a distinct sense of curiosity. So it is, the bird thing we see in the trailer is a similar color scheme to the Achemy. It's like blue and purplish.
Mm-hmm.
So the Snallygaster was actually added into the 2017 edition of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So it kind of makes sense to think that maybe it was added because an appearance was planned for the Fantastic Beasts movies.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets interesting because we're talking about, you know, traveling the globe in this movie. The Snallygaster is native to the east coast of the U.S., specifically Maryland, which we know that we see the U.S. In this film because Dumbledore is walking in New York City, and also that the event the WB held in, was it Spain? Reports after that said that the U.S. was one of the locations featured.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, interesting, kind of going into actual real-life folklore, not from the textbook. The Snallygaster is derived from legends that stem from Frederick County, Maryland, and these date back to the 1700s.
It's so funny to me when it's from, like, places I know.
Right.
I know. Like, my brother lives in Maryland. I was like, is that near where he lives?
Frederick County is near, like, Washington.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, like, I think it's weird because I'm so used to folklore that's, like, it's from Britain and yeah. from the 400s. Like, yeah.
I know. It's weird when you were, like, reading something and it's like, and this legend comes from Schaumburg, Illinois.
Yeah.
I never read stuff that's like, and this legend comes from Orlando, Florida.
Except for the ghosts of Disney World.
Yep. Yeah, just like stuff that's happened in the last 50 years. You're like, well, that's not a legend. We know that guy.
Anyway. This one dates back to the 1700s, and this area of Maryland was primarily settled by German immigrants who reported incidents involving a Schnellergeist, or quick ghost, and you can kind of tell how Schnellergeist turned into Snallygaster. I don't know. It's a little bit close. but the Snallygaster was reported to swoop from the sky and carry off its victims. Early stories told that the creature then sucked their blood.
Ugh.
That's lovely. The settlers painted 7 pointed stars on their barns to keep the creature away, and actually, apparently, you still see those stars painted on buildings in that area, so that's kind of cool. So all of that was in the 1700s, but when you fast forward to 1909, the legend was actually resurrected again in newspaper accounts of the creature. And these detailed articles recounted run-ins between residents and the Snallygaster, and the reports reached Washington, D.C., where the Smithsonian offered a reward for the hide of the beast. And I can't find any, like, substantial evidence of this next little bit, but several articles I found said there was actually a rumor that Theodore Roosevelt considered postponing his African safari to hunt the Snallygaster instead. Nice. I don't know if that's actually true, but it's, like, kind of, like, a funny little
tidbit. It's true to me.
It feels true, so we like it.
It that is now like true. It's absolute like. Fact. So all of this actually turned out to, not surprisingly, be a hoax. The Middleton, Maryland newspaper called the Valley Register actually just made up the stories to try and gain a wider readership. Which is very creative. So a lot of the images that I saw when I kind of Googled Frederick County, Maryland and mountains, because we see this beast like flying in mountains. It is a pretty mountainous region, apparently. And so it kind of makes sense with the landscape that we see in the trailer. So maybe that bit is in Maryland. Or maybe they went and got the Snallygaster and put it in Newt's case and brought it somewhere else. I don't know.
I swear to God, if part of this takes place near where my brother lives. Very funny.
Yeah. I was going to say the other option is for some reason someone already took it to another place and they're trying to return it.
Oh, possible.
Yeah. Another Frank.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Impossible to say.
But I mean, in the trailer, we do see that it's kind of holding a person. And I think we all kind of assume that's Newt because he's got his suitcase that's flying behind him. So maybe Newt had it in his suitcase and let it loose and was hitching a ride. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm looking at it. The crazy bird.
It, like, does this weird thing, too. Like, in the trailer, it, like, its chest, like, puffs and, like, expands and then, like, collapses. I don't know what that's about.
Wow, I just Googled it, and there's, like, it, the well, picture, what? If you, like, it's the Sally Gaster, the Lost Legend of Frederick County. It's a book cover, and it's, like, got tentacles coming out. That's horrifying. I hate it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few different kind of depictions of it.
Yeah. Some of the depictions, though, looked very, very close to the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dragon-like creature.
Yeah.
Yeah. The podcast question this week is, why do you think the squad is meeting at the Hog's Head instead of Hogwarts or literally anywhere else? We would love to hear from you, so drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, but only good ones.
Yeah, nice reviews only.
Yeah.
Please. And once you are done leaving a nice review on Apple Podcasts, you can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you happen to find us on any of those social media outlets, be sure to take a moment and wish your favorite host a happy birthday. You can also support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. We have cool stickers. As we mentioned previously, we did a live watch with Helene and Lizzie on Skype with some patrons. At some point, presuming I can get myself together, I'm hoping to do a game night where we play code names.
Yes.
In the common room. And especially right now, the Common Room, which is our patron-only Facebook group, is buzzing. Like, there is so much stuff. Like, one of our patrons posted a thing about there's mirror writing in the trailer, and I watched that. I had no idea. So, y'all, just please come join us. It's so great. It's so great. What Patreon content have y'all done lately? Do you have anything fun planned?
Just what I've been saying I was gonna do.
Awkward, me too.
So, yeah, when we get those done, you'll see them.
Yeah. Yes, that'll be great.
But Marjolaine has been doing a really fun thing in the common room. She's been posting kind of an advent calendar every day of different photos from her trip to the
Wonder of Nature exhibit.
Yes.
And also the Forbidden Forest exhibition.
Yes.
That's just outside of London.
She posted this really cool one today, I think it was, that was a map of the world, and it showed all the different beasts on the map. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So join us. It's super fun. And we'll make it, we promise we'll make it worth your while.
I'm Amy.
I'm Anne.
I'm Shannon. Case closed.